Our sermon series right now is titled A Great 50 Days, Making Life Count. And part of that is because we are in the season of Easter, which traditionally is referred to as the Great 50 Days. It's a time between Easter Sunday, kind of leading up to the Festival of Pentecost, where we celebrate the ways in which Jesus appeared to his disciples and get a chance to celebrate and make sense of what resurrected life means as we get ready for what Jesus has in store for us, which is, of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, which we celebrate at Pentecost. Now, one of the things that I love about Easter being a 50-day kind of season is you get a sense in those gospel accounts that it took a long time for the disciples to have that good news of Easter sink in. I talked about that a little bit last week in our conversations about Thomas and his understanding of how this kind of good news could be possible in the middle of his grief. Today, we get kind of a different picture. We have the disciples kind of off doing what they're familiar with, their ordinary stuff, right? Many of them that we know were fishermen, right? So what are they doing? They go fishing. It's what they know. It's what they do. And it says in our gospel reading that this is the third time Jesus shows up. So I love that because that's like a passing note, but as a, you know, like a commentator, it's like, okay, guys, this is like the third time. He had to try and explain this to them. So we have this moment where the disciples are out fishing, no luck, and then Jesus is walking along the shoreline, and it's like deja vu all over again, right? Hey, why don't you try again? And they try again. Yes, this is supposed to sound like a story you know, because this happens, of course, when Jesus appears to the disciples to start their whole ministry to begin with. And they have a catch of a miraculous fish, and of course, Peter loves to make a fool of himself, and he jumps out of the boat, and he runs up, and they have this awesome moment of not only celebrating this miraculous catch, but then they have this experience of not wanting to say, like, are you Jesus? We think you're Jesus, you know? They get really quiet. They're really worried about this being the Lord in their midst, but Jesus is patient with them, and they have a meal together because Jesus loves doing that, right? Jesus loves showing up and sharing life and sharing a meal, and I think that's really relatable for so many of us, right? Like those conversations you have, whether when you're preparing a meal or sharing a meal, they have this simple bread and fish and they're talking. And over the course of their meal, there's this sense of understanding and grace that gently unfolds. And it's more than just grace and understanding, but in this case, we're given this sense, especially from Peter's perspective, of this kind of resurrection moment that happens in his own life. Because, of course, Peter was the disciple who always, he always gave it his 150% with Jesus, right? He was always the guy that wanted to, you know, do it, everything he could for Jesus. And yet the Gospels tell us that when Jesus was arrested and put on trial, Peter fled. And not only fled, but denied knowing Jesus. And so we have in this Easter moment, Peter coming with a sense of who knows exactly what, but I would imagine as feelings of guilt and shame and just kind of unfinished understanding of, like, where do I stand with this guy? Because it did not go well, and I'm really embarrassed. I'm just don't know even what to think about myself after what I've done. But what happens at the table? Instead of being met with a wagging finger or a glaring glance, Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? Right? And through the course of their conversation, you see Peter's guilt and shame unfold as it's met with that, you know I love you, right? And there's that rebuilding of love and relationship, of grace and forgiveness. And as their relationship is mended and put back together, Jesus says to Peter, what does he tell Peter to do? Can you guys guess? Yeah, you're all, feed my sheep. Yeah, feed my sheep. Because there's something in the ways that we love God where God says, if you love me, love my people, right? If you love me, love one another. And not only love one another, but there's this call to action, to do something about it. And we know that Peter does that. He takes that commissioning to love Jesus by loving those and beginning the work of the church. And I think about this resurrection story and the power of that meal, that simple fish and bread, where Jesus shows up amidst the highs and lows of life, receives all of the disciples with love and grace and forgiveness, wiping all our guilt and shame away and replacing it with resurrection and purpose. And I think it's in those kinds of Easter stories that we hear from the Bible where we begin to understand, not only for those disciples, but for us as well, that Easter is not an event. It's a way of life. It's not simply a moment that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's a movement. And I think one of the most exciting things for me, especially this past year, is to recognize how true that is. Because here at Crosslands, that resurrected life has truly become a movement. And I am so excited to see where God is leading and taking us forward as we celebrate this capital campaign and get ready for the ministry ahead. Because again and again and again, you as God's church have said clearly and loudly that we are to be a place and a community where all are welcome. We are to be a community and a place where we feed God's sheep, where we do something with our love so that all may experience the joy of God's loving salvation. And I think it's fitting that as we get ready to celebrate that, we take time to gather at God's table to remember that it is Jesus who leads us forward, Jesus who guides us, and Jesus who feeds us.